Christina Lake Cannabis is using proprietary outdoor genetics to grow and harvest cannabis in Western Canada. And with a 99-acre expansion, production should increase from nearly 72,000 pounds to a harvest capacity of over 194,000 pounds of high-quality, refined cannabis to extract exceptional THC and CBD oils. This cannabis highlight has been brought to you by Christina Lake Cannabis, U.S. trading symbol CLCFF and Canada CLC. ChristinaLakeCannabis.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and we welcome Charles Burton. Charles is in Canada, and Gordon Chang's here, and we're visiting with Charles. He's at the McDonald Laurier Institute. We're visiting with Charles because what appears to be a very strange turn in affairs for Canada, a country that's understood as benevolent and very careful about anti-war, and also calm in its approach to international politics. So it's a puzzle why China is so oddly abusive towards Canada. Most recently, there is this headline: foreign interference is not in our genes, China's embassy in Canada says, denying diaspora harassment report. A report to Canadian Parliament by advocacy group Alliance Canada Hong Kong said Beijing had created, quote, a global system of control, surveillance, and influence. The embassy calls the charges a smear and warns critics to, quote, refrain from going down the wrong path further. Charles, good heavens, since we last spoke to you, the embassy in Canada from China is now making what you'd have to say is not very veiled threats. Is this turn here, is this fresh, or does this continue the discord because of the two Michaels being held as diplomatic hostages? Good evening to you, Charles.
Good evening. Well, I think when you get anything out of the Chinese embassy in Ottawa, the right thing is to interpret it as the opposite of the truth. So they'll also tell you that everything is terrific in Xinjiang and Tibet, and one can assume as soon as they're telling you that there must be something going seriously wrong. So their denial of foreign influence activities in Canada, I think, is indicative that, you know, the foreign influence activities on behalf of the Chinese regime in Canada are ramping up, and this excellent report by the Alliance Hong Kong, group of young, bright Hong Kong Canadians, really highlights the extent to which Canada has been penetrated by persons acting on behalf of China, particularly persons who are in positions of influence in policymaking areas in Canada, who seem to, you know, not have Canadian purposes as their sole interest because they have conflicts, having received or anticipating benefit from the Chinese state.
Gordon, the puzzle here is we're collecting states that have trade and peace as their priorities: Australia, Canada, Europe, the European countries, and yet China's uniformly being abusive. Is this a constant now, Gordon, everywhere in the world, that China's going to be aggressive towards states that are not known as aggressive states?
Yes, I think so, John. And it's a real indication that Xi Jinping thinks that he can intimidate the rest of the world. Everyone has to be subservient. Everyone has to be obedient. And, you know, everyone should do what Beijing tells them to. So whether you're a friend or whether you're an enemy, China will treat you poorly.
You have a question for Charles.
Charles, there have been reports that Ottawa has been talking with the Biden administration about the fate of the two Michaels. Those are two Canadians in China who were detained, apparently without reason, in December 2018, just after the U.S. filed an extradition request for Meng Wanzhou, the chief financial officer of Huawei Technologies, the Chinese telecom equipment manufacturer. What's up with those discussions between Canada and the U.S. at this moment?
Well, you know, the thing is that the United States, under the Canada-U.S. extradition treaty, quite rightly decided to extradite the Huawei CFO when she passed through Canada, where she has two large mansions in Vancouver, over serious allegations of fraud against the Hong Kong and Shanghai Bank that could have exposed the Hong Kong and Shanghai Bank to being subject to very serious sanctions because of Huawei's dealings with Iran. So she had deceived the bank into thinking that Huawei wasn't dealing with Iran in violation of U.S. law, and in fact, you know, the information she gave them was false. So China then, as is their wont, decided to pressure the Canadian government to release her forthwith by detaining two innocent Canadians who seem to have the only crime against them that we can figure out as being Canadian in the wrong time and in the wrong place, which was they were in China, both of them there temporarily. And so you have this hostage diplomacy situation. It's been going on for 910 days now. The days that the two hostages, Michael Kovrig and Michael Svaber, have been held are noted on the front page of Canada's national newspaper, the Globe and Mail. So it's a major concern to Canadians. Well, we have an election coming up probably in the fall. And the matter of the arrest of Kovrig and Svaber is something which has caused great discontent among Canadians, who polling suggests that something about 14% of the population is satisfied with the government's China policy. So an extraordinary thing happened, which was that the sitting ambassador of Canada to China, a man called Dominic Barton, evidently went to Washington and spent 3 weeks in Washington trying to convince the U.S. government to strike a deal for Ms. Meng Wanzhou's extradition request to be nullified. Now, the thing is that, you know, that doesn't necessarily lead to the release of Kovrig and Svaber, but the question is, why would the Canadian ambassador to China be spending 3 weeks lobbying all sorts of government departments, Treasury and Justice, and, of course, the State Department and so on? Why wouldn't we have our embassy in Washington doing that, our normal diplomats doing it, or if that didn't seem to be working out well, send a special envoy? So the matter, you know, which was secret until it wasn't, has raised a lot of suspicion about the intention of this activity and whether it's really about releasing the Michaels or more about China attempting to influence the United States via proxies in Canada.
Does Mr. Trudeau believe that he's vulnerable on the matter of China's aggression?
Oh, I think so. And I mean, you know, the problem is that the Canadian public clearly wants some different sort of policy. And what the Canadian government is offering as empty promises of, you know, legislation about foreign transparency or the equivalent of Foreign Agents Registration Act, or promises with regard to sanctions, and none of them seem to come about. So I think the public is concerned that, you know, our government is in fact captured by China, or at least corporate interests, and intends, if they gain a majority in the next parliament, to authorize Huawei 5G, which they have up to now not repudiated, and engage in other PRC-friendly policies that people like me think go very much against Canada's security and sovereignty interests and challenge our alliance with the United States.
Gordon, we have about a minute. Go ahead.
Charles, on this 5G, you know, this is obviously important because Canada is a Five Eyes partner. Is it, if the Conservatives actually take over, what will happen?
Well, I think that, you know, the issue is that the 5G matter has been sitting for over 2 years, where the government says they're studying it. In the meantime, all of our allies have reckoned that Huawei 5G, you know, it poses an unacceptable security threat to communications. So if Canada was to allow Huawei 5G into the network, that would then weaken our alliance with the United States, who wouldn't be as prepared to share intelligence with Canada and vice versa, and that would lead to a vice versa situation. If the Conservatives come in, I hope that we will see Canada getting into line with the United States, Australia, and New Zealand in trying to come up with a common approach to getting China to comply with the norms of diplomacy and trade. And number one would be that we would say that we're not going to allow the 5G in the Canadian telecommunications, which incidentally is very much integrated in North America with the United States.
Charles Burton is a senior fellow at the Center for Advancing Canada's Interests Abroad at the Macdonald Laurier Institute, following the tale of the two Michaels remaining in custody in China. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batchelor. This is CBS Eye on the World.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Christina Lake Cannabis is using proprietary outdoor genetics to grow and harvest cannabis in Western Canada. And with a 99-acre expansion, production should increase from nearly 72,000 pounds to a harvest capacity of over 194,000 pounds of high-quality, refined cannabis to extract exceptional THC and CBD oils. This cannabis highlight has been brought to you by Christina Lake Cannabis, U.S. trading symbol CLCFF, and in Canada CLC. ChristinaLakeCannabis.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.